Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Trying to make sense today of just about everything as it relates to Penn State's football program after a 21-17 loss to Michigan State. We'll spend a fair amount of time on that. We'll look around the Big Ten and really kind of reassess where Penn State fits in the Big Ten East, because the narratives on in a certain couple of programs are changing, including for Penn State. We'll look around the national college football playoff picture as well, which it's safe to say that Penn State is no longer part of that conversation. So, Greg, I think a lot of people are just trying to figure out what's going on and how to feel about Penn State football. And I don't know if it's fair or unfair. Like, there's a lot of times I come in here and I have questions for you that I'm fully prepared with my own answers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that I just can't, I feel like I can't answer today, but I think it is fair to start with the idea of a trend of not being able to slam the door when you lead in the fourth quarter against good teams. Yeah, it goes back to, you know, USC in the Rose Bowl, goes back to two games against Ohio State, two games, you know, against this Michigan State team. I would also include kind of in this narrative the Pitt game in 2016, too. Yeah. But that was before Penn State was Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to put your finger on this one. I mean, I think that obviously, you know, if you've listened to this show, you heard both of us pretty confident in the fact that Penn State would not just win this game, but win it pretty comfortably. I mean, I had it 45-21. You had it 38-17. I mean, there was
nothing on paper
that
suggested Michigan State could go into a good opponent stadium, a good opponent like Penn State, and win a football game.
Yeah, no, there was absolutely – there was not a single thought in my mind entering this game that Penn State could lose. I mean, honestly, I mean, Michigan State was what it was. It could not defend the pass until Saturday. It, you know, gave up a couple Miles Sanders runs, but after halftime, he didn't really do much of anything. And Penn State lost a special teams battle, so – you know, you try and, again, put your finger on this loss, and there were just so many things that went wrong. It's hard to zero in on one thing. I know someone to blame coaches, someone to blame players. I mean, it's a mixture of both. There's plenty of blame to go around in a loss like this that really was just disappointing, I think, on a number of levels. And, you know, unlike the Ohio State game where you could understand how Penn State could lose to that caliber of opponent, Michigan State, even though they won that football game, it's still not a great football team. But Penn State made them look great for 60 minutes, and the Spartans were able to come out with a victory.
So I felt like it was – I think you could describe last year's game almost the same exact way, that Michigan State was not a great football team. The Penn State win made their season, created some momentum that maybe wasn't necessarily there. I feel like it's probably going to do the same thing for them this year. And I think going back, you can – you can kind of excuse or forgive not being able to seal the deal against an Ohio State team that's got athletes everywhere,
yeah,
right? They've got a history of being in the college football playoff conversation, yada, yada, yada. I don't think you can really forgive not being able to slam the door on Michigan State. That's where I think the feelings are coming from. It's the idea of this trend. The questioning, I think, of where that comes from, and really one of the major constants in this scenario being James Franklin, and how do you diagnose a team that's just not making winning plays?
Right.
Is it the players? I don't know, but there's something here that you just can't put your finger on. There's a lot of times in this game against Michigan State, there were, I don't know, a dozen opportunities to make one play to win the game. That could have been a dropped interception. That could have been getting a first down. That could have been Trace McSorley not running out of bounds and essentially preserving a timeout for Michigan State late in this game. There's a lot of stuff that film is going to reveal about Penn State. But to add it all up, they just made losing plays.
Right.
And what do you do with that?
Yeah, there's just no way around it. I mean, they dropped two interceptions. Garrett Taylor and Imani Oriori each had a chance late for an interception to seal the game. Flip side of that, though, is the one Garrett Taylor did intercept, the offense did absolutely nothing with it, immediately stalled out. So, you know, you have problems at kicker now. I don't know if you can trust Jake Pinninger anymore, but is there anyone more worthy of kicking behind him? You can say Blake Gillikin, but he has not been his typical self more often than not, punting-wise this year. So you'll wonder what's up with his leg, and he may not be able to jump over and be the kicking force that we thought he could be. So I don't know. This game provided more questions and answers. I think that's always the case coming out of a loss, but more so after a loss like this, where you start questioning everything you thought about this Penn State team. Because at this point, Dustin, I just don't know what to make of it moving forward. You know, I thought that they were, you know, we both said it last week, or at least I said, I believe you did as well, that I thought they would win out the rest of the way. I mean, we thought this would be an 11-1 team and on the cusp of maybe making the college football playoff. And now, you know, you go back to preseason predictions. I had them at 9-3, and 8-4 seems possible at this point. It really does.
So I think that's where we are, where there's a chance. Well, I mean, definitely hindsight's 20/20, that assuming they're going to win out was premature. And I don't know. I mean, if you look at the way this team was situated to start the year, the issues and the question marks that they had, the fact that even though they navigated the non-conference schedule and the early part of the Big Ten schedule unbeaten, they should have beaten Ohio State. They, you know, on their home field, they looked like the better team against Ohio State. That seemed to validate that Penn State was made all that progress, uh-huh, sort of like in the blink of an eye. But I think the reality is, and I know it's easy to say this after another loss, but the reality is that this team still does have issues to confront. The kicker part of it is not one that was high on my priority list coming out of the non-conference schedule, but I don't think that there's ever been all that much trust in Jake Pinninger in the first place.
Right.
But you just knew that higher leverage kicks were coming down the pike, and they were going to have to confront that too. So I guess my point is, you know, it's where they go from here that determines everything, obviously. Right. But a lot of people figured this was a 10-2 team anyway.
Yeah.
But I think just the way that they lost two games, the fact that Ohio State, even though was a loss, there was some moral victories, mm-hmm, there, and then to kind of have this big letdown coming off of a bye. I know James Franklin said he wasn't sure if the team was over Ohio State. Maybe that's true, maybe that's not, but that's, you know, 2 weeks. Two weeks to get over that.
I think that's just bringing up something that has nothing to do with it, to be completely honest. Sure. I mean, if that was the problem, then this program has bigger problems. If they can't get over a loss like that after a bye week, and you know, the James Franklin at this point, it's not correct to say he needs to stop talking, but he creates more problems for himself. He comes out Tuesday and says, "We had the greatest practice in my time here on Wednesday, rather," and you know, and then they come out and play like maybe the worst performance, you know, since he's been here, when you consider the talent they now have and the way they performed. Tuesday, he talks about, you know, he spent a good portion of his news conference in the beginning talking about Michigan State and how they fake things and all that. They should have gave up two. They gave up one, and I know someone, I'm not sure who it was, but somebody was not in the position they were supposed to be, but they gave up one. And if Garrett Taylor doesn't make an incredible play, I mean, they gave up two fakes. So, you know, you spend a lot of time talking about it, and then you look really bad afterwards when you give up one and almost give up the other one. So at this point, I think he needs to, I don't know, maybe dial it back a little bit and just, you know, it doesn't need to be everything doesn't have to be great or perfect or, you know, whatever. It just has to be better. There's just no way around it. I think the fans at this point want better. They want more consistency week in and week out. Right now, you know, we're seeing some of the problems we knew that they had. You brought them up that we knew were an issue going into this season. They're obviously shining through in a lot of different ways, but there's a lot of coaching things and player things that, you know, went into this one.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State, Michigan State. Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com. For the best single game RV value in Happy Valley, check out GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games. There's free shuttle to Beaver Stadium, a large projection TV, and free Wi-Fi there. And you can enjoy tailgating with 409 Tailgate Club barbecue and wine and Labatt Blue beer. Go to GoPSURV.com for all the details. And I think there's a lot of times where James Franklin is kind of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, sort of. Like, right. No matter how he approaches it, but sometimes in these situations when you do run into this kind of program adversity, the way that he speaks and the way that he's always trying to deliver a purposeful message to somebody, I don't know who it is a lot of the time, maybe it's recruits or whatever, he is open up to criticism. I also think you have to look at the idea that he's, what, 3-11 against Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State. I don't know, you know, if it, how fair or unfair that 3-11 mark is.
Right.
But those are point blank numbers. You can't argue with that record. You can say, and I don't know if you can say that Penn State is still in a build mode of some kind, because that excuse kind of goes out the door when you're in year five.
Yeah.
So it's fair to question everything right now. I think it's better to take a deep breath. You know, it's better to try to just wait until the rest of the season plays out. But not a lot of people are in that position. This was I don't know if you have a ranking of worst losses under James Franklin, but
I don't. I think number one.
is it number one on the list?
Well, simply because you go back to some of the other ones. I mean, they've had some bad ones, but those teams were what they were. I mean, this is, you know, a group that he recruited for the most part. I mean, this is a group that is among the most talented teams that Penn State ever had. And a house that has the best quarterback in Penn State history, as far as I'm concerned. So you put it all together, and this team should not be losing a game like this at home to an opponent like Michigan State. So it tops my list. Again, you can go back and find some ugly ones, but there's no debating that. But at the end of the day, when you take the talent, the opponent, the location, and the expectation, and the fact that they're coming off a bye week, yeah, this one tops the list for me for sure.
I didn't want to go down too far down this road, but I did see it right after the game, and Jimmy over here brought it up before we started talking, but Howard Eskin saying, not surprising that Penn State head coach James Franklin loses another close game today, this one to Michigan State. Franklin is a fraud as a head coach, and his post-game news conference was an embarrassment with mostly BS. The Nittany Lions will never win the Franklin. This is my favorite part because it's a typo. Hashtag it a joke.
it's his own typo and his own catchphrase. Yeah, I don't get it. Look, if you want to kill James Franklin and his staff, I mean, go ahead, but at least have the context and the background on it. I'm not sure that this does. I mean, you know, they have won some games in this sort of fashion. I mean, they came back to beat App State in the fourth quarter in overtime. I mean, they've had some other comeback wins to Minnesota. One, obviously, is one of them that I don't know if that's necessarily considered a comeback win, but it was certainly, you know, they overcame adversity to win that football game. So I don't think necessarily that, like James Franklin said, that you can find as many wins like the way they lost on Saturday. I'm not sure that's the case, but there certainly are some examples.
Yeah, so it's one of those losses that, you know, we spent a good 15 minutes here talking about just where the program is. And part of that conversation, I'll lead the next segment with that, is this a product of some kind of entitlement and expectations that got inflated somewhere along the way? So we'll touch on the game itself, and we'll continue to talk about Penn State's program right after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.